Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit. Let's go hook him up!
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I was just live at the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view, and I'm joined by my co-host, Contreras. What's going on, Contreras?
Not too much. How was the show?
It wasn't the greatest show in the world, but it was a very fun time, so I'm glad I went, and yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I thought it was an okay show. I really liked the ending of it. The ending was pretty good.
Yeah, it had its moments. I mean, I don't know, how did the crowd look on the camera?
They looked fine. I mean, I didn't see them get too excited for that much, except for the ending, I guess.
Well, it was actually pretty packed. It was like they were using. I thought they were going to use the setup that they used for Lucha Libre USA when they were here not too long ago, which really wasn't set up for like a lot of people. They did have a good little crowd, but it wasn't like set up, you know, big time. But they basically used the old Spurs configuration when the Spurs used to play at the Alamo Dome against a shitty team, and they didn't, you know, the upper deck wasn't open, but they had like about 3/4 of the old Spurs configuration, and they pretty much, it was, I don't want to say it was every seat sold, but it was, I would say, like, from what the seats they did sell, they sold at least 95% of them.
I see.
So yeah, it was a good crowd, and they were pretty rowdy. I mean, in the main event, everybody, because I was towards the end, you know, towards the top, and everybody all that way up there was standing for the main event, so it was pretty cool. But I guess we could go ahead and run it down from the beginning. I don't.
They
think
had any dark matches or anything?
No, there wasn't any dark matches. Basically, the way it started with a Borash coming out and, you know, doing the TNA cell job and talking about, you know, be loud for the cameras and, you know, all that stuff. And then they brought out. They brought out Mike Tenet, and then they brought out the other guy, and then they brought out Taz. Dude, Jesus Christ, Taz is fucking fat as shit now. And I never realized how huge he was, you know, seeing him on TV. But when he came out walking, man, he's like a little ball with feet.
He's like a pumpkin.
He does, man. He looks like a pumpkin. Like he's fucking tiny but fat, you know, short but fat. And
you were lucky that you didn't hear any commentary, because he damn near ruined this whole show. He was horrible all night.
I got a text from Big D saying that it's good that you can't hear Taz, because he's like really bad on this show.
And it was like a 3-hour. The show was just a 3-hour argument with the announcers. I mean, Jesus
really?
Christ, made me want to just shut the fucking show off at one point. It's just too much.
Yeah. Well, okay. glad I didn't have to hear them. And then they introduced, like, SoCal Val, who was, she was fucking good. And then they brought out Christy, who, I don't know about her outfit she was wearing. It wasn't that great, and her high heels kind of sucked. But they brought them out. And then they brought out Dixie, and Dixie came out with some, like, knee-high, almost knee-high leather boots and a miniskirt, and she looked like she'd be perfect for a Brothers MILF video. I mean, she was smoking hot, dude. She was smoking. And,
she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, she's she is a good-looking woman for an older woman. Like I say, she was dressed like a stripper tonight. And and then she talked about how, like they come to Texas quite a bit doing their house shows, but they never come to San Antonio. It's always like Del Rio or Laredo or Corpus Christi, but they never came to San Antonio. And I never understood that, because you remember back when they had the Voodoo Kin Mafia or whatever, and they said they were going to come to
San Diego. Yeah, I remember that. They were challenge DX, made them at the Alamo.
Yeah, and there was like a lot of people showed up even though they weren't there.
Yeah, it was like they weren't even doing it. They said we're going to be at the Alamo on this day, but they went and taped it on another day, so nobody's going to be at the Alamo. So, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And she said the reason that they've never done San Antonio before is that she said that, in fact, San Antonio has been on the list like many times, but she specifically said, no, take San Antonio off of there because they're going to get something big when we do go to San Antonio. So that's the reason supposedly they haven't come. And I'm thinking that they will be back because that was, like I say, that was one big crowd that was there.
And yeah, so since they're on the road now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Impact came back there, like later this year or something.
So what, I'm sorry, what?
I said I wouldn't be surprised now if they're just on the road, not in Orlando, they don't come back to San Antonio, maybe later this year or something like that.
Or maybe they should do, like, lockdown in San Antonio every year, or, you know, make San Antonio one of the four live pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And because it was a damn big crowd. I don't know how many, I don't know if they set the attendance, but I know it had to be more than the 5,500 that people, they were talking about before. And basically, you know, that basically she just gave her speech and they didn't really have any dark matches. And then they started off with a three-way, and I thought it was actually better than I thought, but goddamn, Kenny King had some horrible moments in this match.
Yeah, it was Kenny King against Zema Allen against Christian York for the X Division title. And it looked like he was going, I don't know if he was going for like an acai moonsault off of the opponent, off of like his opponent's back instead of, you know, using the ropes. But it looked like he slipped and he just like went head first right into the barricade. So it killed him.
I was on the far side, so I was on the opposite side, and when he like slipped and was going down, I mean, it looked like he was going to literally die. And
may want to start using the ropes and not your opponent's back next time. Might be a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was also where he went for like a I don't know what it's called, like, you know, the rolling like kick that like Jushin Liger throws.
Yeah.
He kind of threw one of those and he missed by like a fucking mile.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. And then I think Christian York hit him with one or something like that.
Yeah, Christian York came right back and instead of setting it up for Kenny to hit him, he just said, fuck it, I'll do my own and hit Kenny King on it. And they did have a few good spots. I mean, there was you know, there's one where I guess Christian New York had Zema and then Kenny came off the, you know, springboard, and that was a good one. And then they had another good spot off the top. And it was decent. Like I say, it was a little sloppy, but it was a good start. And Christian New York, fucking, that dude is so much bigger than when he was, like, in his prime. It's not even funny how jacked up and juiced up he is now.
Yeah, I've never really gotten to see him until this run. I know he was there, like, for the first show, but worked independence a lot, but I haven't really got to see him that much, so.
Yeah. But, it was a decent, you know, opener. I mean, nothing too crazy. I mean, the X Division is not what it used to be, but, you know, they did a good job, and, you know, it the crowd was into it for the most part.
Yep, good match.
Yeah.
So we had Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park. They played the interviews on the screens, huh?
Yeah, they showed the interviews on the screen. That was actually that's one thing that I kind of had a there's one thing they need to work on is, you know, how they have the entrance and they have the big screen where the guys came out. They didn't show the matches on the screen. They only showed the interviews or like maybe a replay here or there, but they didn't actually show. Yeah, they didn't show the match. So, you know, it's I don't know, they don't have good sight lines, but there's still time for people to stand up or this and that. And, you know, instead of just, you know, standing up, and it's not, you know, a major spot, you could just look at the screen, but you couldn't do that here. So that was like, that was one little negative. I mean, that's a little nitpick, but that's one thing I think they should have showed the whole match.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I mean, especially wrestling shows nowadays, especially like the TV shows, you expect everything to at least be on the big screen if you, like, have trouble seeing or something like that. So you can see everything.
Yeah. So that was one kind of negative. And then, they did the interview with Joseph Park, and then they had Kazarian and Daniels interrupt. And it was decent interviews. And then what was the next match? I can't even remember.
Joseph Park against Joey Ryan.
I
enjoyed Joseph Park. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I love there's one spot on there that was just it just made me fucking bust out laughing my ass off. I gotta give Joey Ryan credit. He did an awesome opening promo to start the match.
Yeah,
you know, making fun of Joseph Park for being fat and all the fans for being fat, which, you know, it's
the grossest looking person out there. Joey Ryan's probably the grossest looking person out there.
I know, it was always like chest hair and stuff. But he is right. San Antonio is like 95% fat, so.
And he's got the most obnoxious Titantron video with just his face and the different poses. And it's just it's just so absurd. I can't help but laugh at it. Did you say what you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just. Anyway.
and the match was. The match wasn't like, you know, basically your typical Joseph Park match where he's, you know, basically getting his ass kicked for most of the match and has his, like, few little spots. But the one spot where Joey Ryan went to the top rope and went for the crossbody and just bounced off Joseph Park, who just no-sold it, that was fucking awesome.
And he got the win with the, I think Joey Ryan went for a sunset flip and he did, like, the earthquake splash on him.
Yeah, and he crushed him with that splash, dude. and then his facial expressions when he's sitting on there with his hands up, like kind of doing like the jazz fingers.
Uh-huh.
And, that was pretty funny. I mean, I enjoyed it. That was a cool little match for what it was. I mean, it was basically comedy and, you know, filler. So it was all right.
I think then they went to the back and had Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan. I missed most of this promo. I guess I wasn't paying too much attention. Something about Andre the Giant put him over or something or told him to, now win or lose, make sure that you remember for as long as they live. Hogan said, win or lose, he wants Ray to make sure he makes them remember him so long as they live. Ray and Hogan shook hands. Ray helped him up and promised Hogan they'll remember him. Well, he's right.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty decent speech by Hogan. I mean, it wasn't your typical, you know, him yelling and all fired up like, it wasn't like he was telling him like, go get him, brother. He was basically doing like a heartfelt speech, and it actually wasn't bad. I thought Hogan did a good job, and
he came off at the end just like, man, he fucked you royally at the end, you know. That was great.
Yeah.
Let's see, we had Velvet Sky against Gail Kim for the TNA Knockouts title with Taryn Terrell as the referee. And you probably got more out of this match than I did, so talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was a five-star match all the way. And Velvet actually didn't look half bad. She fucking did a fucking her karate that was better than the guys in the X Division match.
Mm-hmm.
And she did some other spots. It was actually pretty decent. I mean, Velvet was, she actually, it might sound kind of funny to say, but she had her working shoes on tonight.
Yeah.
as much as Velvet guy as those guys could actually have. And yeah, it was decent, but the best part is fucking Tiffany, because you can't help but notice every single thing Tiffany does, dude. She's every little tiny nothing move she makes dramatic, and she's
it's like how the referee
awesome.
You shouldn't even notice the referee is out there. It's like a total opposite with her. You can't help but notice that the referee is out there.
Yeah, and I actually went with that little with Supersonic, who can be a little douchebag on the F4W board. And he's like, I told her, like, man, you know, I started talking about how awesome she was. And he's like, you know, you're talking about her shorts. Like, no, I'm talking about everything she does, but the shorts don't hurt, you know. And they had a match, and basically Gail was going for Eat the Feet, and she kind of used Tiffany for, like, leverage, kind of. And then kind of Velvet was kind of out of it. Then her and Tiffany started going at it. I don't know if you could hear what they were saying, but, you know, obviously
yeah.
We couldn't. But they were kind of getting into it, and she's getting ready to win. And then Tiffany just spears the crap out of her and then, like, mounts her and grounds and pounds her. And then when she finally gets off, and Gail...
She shoved Tiffany a few times, and then she slapped her in the face and started screaming, disqualify me, disqualify me. And she said no, and then Gail turned around. When she turned back around, she nailed her with a spear and started going at it, and somebody's hair or somebody's extension fell out. Tiffany, because a big blonde piece of hair went flying.
It had to be Tiffany, then, because Gail's not blonde.
Yeah, so then Velvet nailed her finisher and got the win.
Well, before she hit the finisher, like, Gail got up, and Gail was looking at her like she was going to beat her ass. And that's when this guy turned her around and hit her, like, pedigree, sit-down pedigree, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got the win. And it was weird, though, because, like, right when that happened, or, like, right after that happened, you see a ref come from behind the back. And you think he's going to come in and, like, reverse the decision, but I guess he was just getting ready to come for the next match. So I was actually kind of expecting something to go down, but nothing actually happened. And then, like, later on, they were interviewing Tiffany, and then Gail came and jumped there and kicked their ass, and then they had to pull apart. And
I guess that's going to have to be the hell to get her to be in a wrestler. Can't imagine they're going to keep her as a referee after this. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't mind. She's... Like, there's something about Tiffany that's just so awesome. I mean, some people think she's horrible, but to me, I think she's awesome.
Well, horrible sometimes for the women is awesome, so who cares?
And even, like, when she counted the pin, and she's, you know, instead of, like, you know, the referee, like, shows his hand and his finger, like, the motion to ring the bell, Tiffany does it all dramatic, and she does it, like, 10 times in, like, 2 seconds.
She pulls her arm back as far as it will go to do the count, and then slaps the mat. Weird.
Yeah. So when she called for the bell, she just, like, was so dramatic about it. It was awesome. I mean, five-star match all the way.
They had Jeremy Borashi interviewed Robbie E., who spoke about proving that little Robbie was always better than big Robbie. I kind of felt two comedy matches was kind of, it's a bit too much for the show. I'd already seen one, so.
Yeah, but it was okay. Fucking Rob Terry, dude. I mean, Jesus Christ, that dude is like one of the biggest, most jacked up dudes I've ever seen in my life. I mean, even, like, you know, as far back as we were, you just see he's just like fucking, he doesn't even look like a real man. He's almost like an action figure, you know, like they pulled an action figure out of a video game or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, he's like him from He-Man.
Yeah.
Something like
and
that.
And he basically just did a bunch of power spots. And little Robbie got a little offense on him, but he ended up getting killed at the end. And
I'm glad I don't have to put all that shit in my hair that Robbie E. does to have that look. God, that must be a mess to get rid of.
you should go for that Pauly D look.
We'll
pick out. I'm pretty sure.
Let's see. This was here. They had Jeremy Borash interviewing Austin Aries, and of course, the big story of the weekend was
there was a contract issue with Robert Roode, and apparently his contract ran out while he was the tag team champion, which I still don't understand how that happens.
But didn't it happen with D'Lo?
With who?
Not D'Lo. Didn't that same shit happen with the other black guy, D'Von? Don't you remember D'Lo?
I don't know if it just ran out. Well, they forgot to renew it, is what happened. Expired without anybody realizing it. I think they tried to negotiate with D'Von beforehand, and it just expired while they were doing that, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay. But, and this one, it just happened. No one knew about it.
Bruce Pritchard forgot that the contract was expiring. So that was the big thing. Yeah, and they came in Austin Aries kind of played it up. He's like, he was there. He didn't know where people were asking about where Robert Roode was. And that he said he doesn't need Roode to get the job done. But luckily for me, that's not going to be necessary. And Roode walked onto the screen and said, "Did you miss me?" So that was kind of their internet shout out for the evening.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of cool that he did show up because, you know, I mean, at least they were able to have a match that was advertised.
Yeah, and that went to the three-way match with the champions Bobby Roode and Austin Aries against Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, and Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And I thought this was the best match on the show.
Yeah, from start to finish, this was the best match on the show. And Hernandez and Chavo were over big time. And,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If the best thing happened for all Aries and Roode to retain, or the other next best thing would have been for Daniels and Kazarian to retain, but they cheated themselves out of the biggest pop of the night when Chavo didn't get the win with the Frog Splash. That place was ready, dude, to fucking explode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were ready to explode like big time, and they kind of took that from them. So, but like
this
I say,
was the only time
best.
I've really been into like the Chavo and Hernandez thing. I just don't care much for Chavo. Hernandez is okay, but just doesn't seem like Chavo doesn't seem like guys should be competing for titles or something. I don't know, maybe Hornswoggle beat him too much. But in San Antonio,
he did a good job, you know, getting the heat. He did a spot where basically he gave everybody the rolling suplexes. And he did it to Frankie, he did it to Daniels, and then he did it to Roode. And then Aries kind of like kicked him, and then he did the Eddie Shinny, and he was going to go for it, but Chavo did it to him. And what was awesome was every time he would do it, he'd do the suplex, he'd do it where he would spin around, and when Aries would spin around, he was kicking his legs like he was still doing the shimmy. And I thought that was awesome. Aries was awesome in this match, and basically everybody was really good. I mean, Chavo wasn't spectacular, but you know, he did his job getting the heat. Hernandez was actually pretty good doing, you know, he basically did a bunch of power spots.
Yeah, doing all the big man spots and stuff like that.
Yeah, and had the crowd going. The crowd's really into him. You know, he's a local here in San Antonio. He's like the big star of River City Wrestling. And they actually had a River City Wrestling show Saturday. I wasn't able to make it to it, but they did have, like, Joey Ryan showed up, Rob Terry, and then the Aces of Eights were there. And supposedly it was a pretty good show. Cheerleader Melissa Flash was there. And it was supposed to be a good show. I kind of sad I didn't make it. They also had a fan fest on Saturday, and I was planning on going to this. They had it, like, broken up into, like, four or five sessions.
Yeah.
You know, and each session had so many people. So I really just wanted to go to the first one because I wanted to hopefully meet Gail Kim. And then, you know, I know Aries a little bit, so I wanted to see Aries. And the night before, I go to the TNA thinking I could see how much it costs for just the sessions, but I don't think they were selling per session. I think it was like $130 for like the whole day. And had I known about the price like 2 weeks ago, I could have like prepared myself, but I had already paid my bills for this week and put my money for the rest of it away to my WrestleMania fund. So I was kind of like, damn, you know, I can't stay there the whole day, and I don't want to pay $130 just for the first session, you know? So
yeah.
I ended up missing it, but I heard it went all right. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people went. and it was downtown near the Riverwalk, so I'm sure it was a pretty cool place where they had it. But yeah, I missed that.
They did a cool spot where I can't remember who it was. I think Hernandez had Rude up over his shoulder. It might have been Aries over his shoulder, like for a backbreaker, and then Chavo picked, I think, Rude up and put him over Hernandez's shoulder, so he did like a double backbreaker over his shoulder.
That was a pretty awesome spot. That was pretty awesome. And it was a really good match. I mean, everybody was doing great. I mean, it was really good, real fast paced. It wasn't slow at all. And basically, Aries and Rude got the win after they kind of cheated Chavo after he hit the Frog Splash. And then they had kind of words with Kazarian and Daniel. So hopefully they'll move to them. I'd really like to just see a one-on-one tag team match between them. And
The Bad Influence and Rude and Aries?
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping. I kind of wish they would have done that here, but I understand why they had like Hernandez and Chavo in the match because of where they were. Yeah, I'd like to see like a little program with all four of those other guys. I think it'd be one of the better tag team feuds they've had in a while.
Yeah, so they had to do Hernandez and Chavo in the match just because, like you say, where they were here, and they were like, I mean, other than like Jeff Hardy and Sting, you know, they were the most over guys by far. You know, Hernandez was over big time when he was doing all his killer spots. And,
what about Hulk Hogan?
Well, he only came out towards the ring, and there was so much going on. It's not like it was just a solo Hulk Hogan pop. So it was a good pop, but it wasn't like what you would expect if he, let's say, his music hit and he came out by himself. You know.
Let's see. They had an announcement that Slammiversary is going to be in Boston on June the 2nd. So they got away to their next pay-per-view.
Speaking of Boston, there was this Boston douchebag who was texting me to call in the show, but I see that he's just a call in the show, so why don't you grow a pair of balls, you little Boston douchebag, and call in? Or better
Who's
yet,
that?
have your really cool, awesome buddy Thrasher call in, because, you know, he's actually pretty cool, whereas you're a douchebag and you're scared to call in.
Oh, so that's what the Thrasher meant when they said they're coming to Hogan country. He didn't mean Hulk Hogan country, he meant his country. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they had Aces and Eights promo. D'Lo Brown said they've been... You know something's wrong with D'Lo Brown's like your VP in 2013?
Yeah.
And he spoke about...
D'Lo's almost as fat as Taz. I mean, his face is so fat.
He's a little bit taller. So it kind of offsets the weight, I guess.
Yeah.
He talked to the Aces and Eights members and said they waited 9 months for this, and he sent Westbrook go off to handle club business with Kurt Angle. And he asked who wants to be the first in a lethal lockdown match, and Bischoff and Doc raised their hands, but I think Anderson is the one that they got it to. And then we had Kurt Angle against Westbrook in the cage match, and if you've ever heard of the expression of so-and-so can wrestle a broom and carry it to a good match, this was good. Which Briscoe must be adopted. He must be adopted. He can't really be a Briscoe.
He don't look nothing like a Briscoe, that's for sure.
He sure don't wrestle like one. He's not very good. I wonder if that's why they got rid of him in developmental. I mean, he's just too bad. I don't know. This was like Kurt Angle wrestling a match. This was Kurt Angle against, like, himself or something like that. I don't know. You know, it was a good match. It ended up being a good stuff, but it's all because of Kurt Angle. I mean.
Yeah, like, as soon as I kind of missed part of the interview, because as soon as I saw them start grabbing the cage, to start cutting the parts of the cage, I took off to go take a piss. And, my dumbass turned the wrong way because it was a restroom right next to me to the right, but I turned to the left, so I had to go down a ways. So by the time I got back, the match had already kind of just barely started. Like, the bell rang right before I turned the corner to come back to where the seats were. And the first real thing that I saw was a spot where he throws he throws West into the corner, and then he comes charging, and West moves, and Angle just fucking slams the shit out of himself into the corner. I'm like, oh, God, he's going to kill himself by the end of the match. And he looks, Kurt Angle has slowed down so much, dude. It's like, it's crazy, but he was still, when he does do stuff, it's still pretty good. And Sonic was like, don't you hope that he goes to the top rope for a moonsault? And I go, man, if he even looks like he's going to climb to the top rope, I'm just going to get up and leave. I don't want to see Kurt Angle die.
So, what's going to happen is it's just now become noticeable that he's, even when he slows it down a little bit, he's still pretty damn good, so.
Yeah.
You know.
It's kind of good that he does slow it down a little bit, because if he starts trying to go like 100 miles the whole match, he is definitely going to kill himself. But basically, he ended up, they were fighting back and forth. He went for a clothesline, and West ducked, and he hit the referee, and the referee did like a flip bump off of Kurt's clothesline. Not a very good flip bump, but he did a flip bump. It almost looked like he did a legit flip bump the way he fell. And then so Kurt gets the ankle lock on, and West starts tapping immediately. And, you know, he's not there to the referee's still out. So then Angle kind of checks on the referee. And the referee's actually starting to kind of come to a little bit. And his family started. This is what was kind of stupid, because the referee was somewhat up.
He was up on his feet. I mean, he was pointing the wrong way.
He's acting like, he kept looking the wrong way, like he's still disoriented. Kurt gets out of the ring. So he actually should have won. So he's there standing, pretty much celebrating. And that's when D'Lo comes up behind him, hits him, throws him back into the ring, and pulls West out. And that's finally, 5 minutes later, the referee decides to look at the action and sees West outside. So he calls for the bell. And the ace of the match was the match.
And D'Lo was kind of crawled down around ringside, so the ref didn't see him. I guess he was afraid West would get disqualified in this cage match or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not like he's going to actually really hide. I mean, that dude was so fat, you know.
This was one of the worst Kurt Angle matches at the same time. It's one of the good examples of him being able to carry a guy somewhat or just have a match with nobody. I know it's weird.
But, yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, it wasn't a great match, but it was okay because it's Kurt. And kind of sad that he had to do a job to West Briscoe, of all people.
Well, it's not really doing a job. He just did walk out of the cage.
Yeah.
It's like losing a ladder match. You don't really lose. People only care if you get pinned or tap out. So,
yeah.
Then they had the Lethal Lockdown match. We had Team T and Ace Sting, Magnus, Samoa Joe, James Storm, and Eric Young. Faces and eights of D-Von, Doc, Knox, Garrett Bischoff, and Mr. Anderson. That sounds like a horrible lineup.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, I don't watch a lot of TNA, but, like, maybe the last couple of weeks I'd see a little bit of it. And I remember the show where Sting picked his team, and I'm looking at the end, and I'm like, okay, who the fuck is the one young jacked up dude? Like, I had no clue. I'm like, who the fuck is that? And it ended up being Magnus, so I'd never actually seen Magnus. And this match, like, I posted this on Facebook. This is basically a story of two different matches, because the actual first part of the match wasn't that great. I mean, there was nothing like wrong with it, but it wasn't a War Games. You know what I mean? It just didn't have that flow or like the intensity. Like, what I think was a big mistake, and this is what I was talking to Sonic there, is, you know, back in the day when you have the War Games matches, you have the whole team outside the cage so they can help sell when their guy's getting beat up by going crazy or cheering the guy on or getting the crowd to cheer or just, you know, make more of a lively show. They didn't have that. They actually had Magnus. Who started? Magnus and Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they came out by themselves, right? So they and Kennedy don't look. I would have had no clue that was Mr. Kennedy unless I actually knew that it was, dude, because he doesn't look anything like he used to. And so they're wrestling their 5 minutes, And then, you know, it's time for the Ace of the Nate. So when the next guy comes out, who's next? Knox?
Yeah, next was Knox.
Yes. So Knox comes out from the back. And it wasn't Ace of the Nate didn't come out from, like, the Titantron. It came out from another side, you know. So he has to go through the crowd, get to the ring, and, you know, the crowd at first goes crazy when the first person comes out, but then it takes so long, it kind of, like, drops the momentum. And, you know, so he's in there, and then I think Joe came in second. And Joe was really good in this first part of the match. Joe was pretty good. I mean, Joe, he's down to batter, but he came in. He was doing a good job. But still, it wasn't like, you know, nothing spectacular, nothing great. And
this is why the War Games has two rings. You know, you can spread stuff out. It doesn't look all... I mean, you had all these 10 guys in there, and then you had all these, like, two garbage cans full of weapons in there. It just looked like a mess, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, you have, you know, Bischoff comes in, and then... You know, basically you have, you know, everyone still up. And I actually kind of forgot exactly how many people were in the match, because I kind of thought when James Storm came out that it was actually going to be a Sting. But, you know, basically you had, you know, Storm came out, Joe, Magnus, Eric Young came out. He took his pants off before he even got to the cage. I thought that was a good spot, because you don't want him in a serious match to start dripping in a war game. So he stripped before. And, you know, he came in, Doc came in, you know, basically they had everybody in there, and it still wasn't like, it was, like I say, it was okay, but nothing great. And then Sting came out with two trash cans full of plunder, and when he came out, the people went crazy, everyone started standing. And then he got in the ring, and everyone got the plunder, and then the match went from just okay to, like, all kinds of awesome. I mean, Samoa Joe was just throwing the trash can at, I think it was Bischoff. And the first one, he threw him, and you could hear the smack of the trash can hitting him from, like, a way up there where we were. And they just killed the Ace of the Nates with the plunder. And then they kind of teased what, you know, people were kind of, like, thinking that Eric Young might turn on the team. And they were totally in control until Eric Watts gets the bat and accidentally blasts Sting with the baseball bat. They kind of teased what you're thinking, okay, well, this is going to lead to Eric, you know, turning or them getting mad at Eric or whatever. And then the Ace of the Nates kind of took over for a little bit with the plunder. And then they did a Tower of Doom spot that was one of the greatest Tower of Doom spots I've ever seen in my life.
I thought Bischoff was going to die.
Bischoff is basically on top of the cage, basically. His legs are on the outside of the cage. So he's up there. Two of the guys are going to, like, to suplex him, and then the other guys go to, like, grab them, and then Samoa Joe goes to grab those guys. So it's, like, about a five-person tower, kind of. And then Bischoff comes down hard. And
I would have rather just been Samoa Joe in this, where I just had to do, like, the powerbomb spot.
Yeah.
That was a point.
Yeah. That was an awesome, awesome spot. And, there was also right before there was a spot where, like, when the babyface made the comeback, like, I guess Samoa Joe and someone else stopped selling for Bischoff, and they were looking at him, and you could just see he had this look like, oh, shit, and he tried to climb out of the cage, and that's when they went and grabbed him for the spot. But that was
Bischoff,
cool.
And you can't wrestle a chant at him?
As soon as he got in. And then basically the way it ended with everyone kind of being down and out, and then Sting points, he tells Eric Young to go up top. So Eric Young goes to the top rope, and he's getting ready for the elbow, and Sting's like, no, 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 go up, go up. So Eric Young goes to the top of the cage, and then he comes down with a big elbow arm. I guess it was Bischoff.
I think it was Doc.
Or maybe Doc. I couldn't even tell by this point. There were so many people in such a small ring, but he came off with a big elbow. And you could tell he hurt one of his ribs
Knox,
or something.
Actually, my fault. It was Mike Knox.
Mike Knox, okay. Well, it was good that it was Mike Knox, because he would have killed Bischoff with that elbow, because he almost killed himself. You know, he was holding his side after that. But it was an awesome elbow off the top. I mean, it really looked good. And the team, TNA, got the win. And like I say, before Sting got in there, it was just a match, and then when Sting got in there, it got really, really good.
Yeah, and I don't know, these Aces and Knights, it's like watching the Dungeon of Doom or something. As a group, I mean, and they got beat by Eric Young, who's like the biggest geek in the world, so I don't know. So maybe it was undone at the end of the night, because at the end of the night, I think it might have helped them even more, though, so.
Yeah, but, it was like I say, it was the second half of the match was really good, and,
No blood on the show, I was surprised.
Yeah, I would have figured, like, when Kurt threw Wes into, like, the chain, like, two or three times in a row, I figured he was the first one that was going to bleed, but nobody actually started bleeding them. It was actually a big surprise.
Made me think, I wonder if San Antonio has a commission or something like that. You can't bleed or something. I don't know.
San Antonio would be the last place to have a commission that didn't allow bleeding because remember watching Southwest Wrestling?
Yeah, I remember that. Well, maybe they were so under the radar that nobody noticed or whatever. I don't know. I thought it was strange that they didn't at least do a little bit of blood on this, especially during the big lethal lockdown match. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Then they go to the main event, Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray in a cage for the TNA title. This wasn't much of a match because I think everybody was waiting for, they knew something was going to happen. Is that the way you feel?
Yeah, kinda, in a way. I just put it on the Observer front page that says that Jeff Hardy suffered a legitimate concussion on the big power bomb spot off the top rope. And they did help him. Like I thought, I kind of mentioned. I go, man, he's doing a hell of a job selling one shot from a bat, you know. But apparently, I guess he really was
with a hammer.
And he was out of it for like a long time.
Yeah, that powerbomb spot. That's one of those spots that's cool, but I don't know. It kind of looks silly when you kick out of that. It really should be able to. You know, that should be it. But it just, that's the way wrestling is. So.
There was an awesome spot where they're like, Jeff was on the top rope and he did like a Vader bomb from the top rope that looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He went like a whisper in the wind, but he went for just basically just a Vader bomb. Bully went for a Vader bomb and he missed.
It was, I think it was Bully Ray, and I think they were, like, on the top, not in the cage, but just on the top rope, and Hardy did that thing like he does in the corner with the 2 feet, you know, when he nailed the opponent in the corner, and he landed back first, and it looked like Bully Ray, it looked like he didn't have anywhere else to go, and it looked like he just kind of lost his balance and just did a big splash on him, you know, just falling and selling the move. That's kind of how it looked to me.
Yeah. But it was like decent, and then who ran in? I guess it was Wes and Bischoff.
Yeah, Wes Briscoe and Bischoff. Yeah, you couldn't let the one ace and ace guy that actually won his match. You couldn't let him get out without looking like a complete goof. So you had to send him into the cage.
They in the cage, and they got double teamed, and Bully,
Bischoff took
Bully
a great
and Jeff teaming together.
I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Bischoff's bump he took out of that cage?
Actually, no, I missed it.
He did. He just sailed over the top rope onto the ramp. It was like a beautiful thing to watch. You'd have to see it just to appreciate it. I can't do it. Words won't do it justice. You should check it out.
I hope that.
And then Wes Briscoe took a sloppy dive out of the cage.
And they did a bunch of double team spots and were working together. And then they went back to wrestling. And then towards the end. Hogan and Brooke decided to come out for some reason. I don't understand why they came out because it's not like it was like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it's his father-in-law. That's his wife. He had a cheery moment.
Still, it's not like, you know, anything major was happening or anything. It's just like they came out and
because the Aces and Aces are going to hit the ring, so we need them out there.
Yeah. And Brooke looked pretty damn good in those shorts, I got to say. And then Aces and Apes came out, so all of them came out, and then they all, climbed the corners.
And you knew what was going to happen.
And so this was another one of those where it was predictable, but it was good that
it's the right thing to do when you know.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's waiting for it to happen, so it's the best thing is when you actually give them people. So basically what happened is they're climbing in the ring, and Hardy and Bully Ray go back-to-back. Like, they're going to fight them off like they fought off Wes and Brooks, and Bischoff. So they're back-to-back, and then D-Von is, like, in the closest corner to Bubba, and then he ends up handing Bubba, like, the hammer or whatever. So Bubba just turns around while Jeff is, you know, still kind of back-to-back getting ready to fight him off and just waylays him with the hammer.
And D-Von actually had a hell of a time getting his hammer out of his pocket. I saw on the TV. So took him. I thought we were having Jack Swagger trying to get the case down at the Money in the Bank match or something like that. He's struggling with his hammer in his pocket. Anyway,
that's funny. But yeah, so basically they did what everyone thought. Brooks starts going crazy out of the. Well, first they make the referee. They kind of like all like kind of like surround the referee and kind of like force him to count to 10. And so Bubba gets the pin. And then Brooks starts going crazy outside, and he's all taunting Brooke, and Devon's taunting Brooke.
Let
and then he grabs
bitch, him. Let that bitch cry.
Yeah, he's like, let that bitch cry, Devon. And then, like, he's all talking about how he used her and this and that. And
he said, let that bitch cry. I said, this man cannot be ill. That was too awesome thing to say. And I was like, then the bottles and stuff and started coming in. I said, that was a 5-star ending, I thought, with the fans.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, what's funny is when the bottles first came in, I don't know if you saw this on TV, but two of the very first bottles, right in a row, hit Doc right in the head. He got hit with one, and it kind of like, I don't want to say he reacted to it, but he got hit with one, and then right a second later, boom, he gets hit right in the head with a second. And I laughed my ass off it. And bottles are flying. And then, of course, there's a few assholes that are at the top of the fucking arena starts trying to chunk shit. And it's like, that's being ridiculous because that's just guaranteed to hit somebody in the family. I mean, it's not the safest thing to do it when you're throwing it at the ring, but at least you're close enough to get it to the ring. And hopefully it's not going to hit somebody. But, you know, not a lot, but there were a few of these drunk assholes throwing their shit from, like,
I wonder if they,
know.
If TNA just had certain plants around, they were hoping that, you know, they're going to start throwing something and then people pick up on it and start throwing something. So,
no,
because
there's a bunch of drunk Mexicans in the crowd, so I can kind of see that happening.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was one of the better heel turns I've seen in maybe a couple of years or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought everything worked out pretty good. You know, I thought everything was.
Too bad he's the leader of Geek.
Yeah, and it turns out he's the leader, and I guess Eric Bischoff's not coming back.
Well, maybe Eric Bischoff is coming back. I don't know. This was a good show. I liked it. I thought the ending was great. And this was your first TNA show you ever been to?
Yeah, because like I say, they never come to San Antonio. This is the first time they've actually come here.
Yeah,
and,
good show. So.
Yeah.
After the cameras or stuff when we went off, did you do anything else?
No, just Jeff still laid in the ring, and then the Edge of the Nate slowly walked to the back. There was like people, there was a big pop because I guess someone threw a shitload of popcorn at him or something. And they were walking through the ramp. So
I was hoping Brooke would turn with the Bully. I think she'd be a good heel. Maybe there's something they're going to do in the future. Maybe something else they're going to do. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd probably be overkill by then.
I wonder if he has rights to, like, the Hogan fortune now. They're still married.
What Hogan fortune?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he can cancel the payments that take care of John Graciano or something. I don't know.
Right.
That's a horrible thing to say. I thought it does.
Yeah.
Anyway, because we didn't get to do the show Friday, what are your thoughts on Paul Bearer passing away this week?
That was pretty sad. I mean, he wasn't like super young guy, but you know, 59 is not
that's not like too old.
Yeah, so yeah, I actually figured he was older. You know what I mean?
Uh huh.
just because of Paul Bearer's character, that's just so old, you know what I mean? But I remember him when he was Percy Pringle, and he was in World Class, and he was, you know, blonde, and he was white, but he wasn't as white as Paul Bearer. And I just remember the, he tried to copy, like, all the other managers at the time. Like, you know, you had Cornette with his tennis racket. You had Jimmy Hart with his megaphone and so and so. And he would bring out the stick. Basically, it was like a stick with, like, a thing on top where you could, like, fold it. And you could, like use a stick to kind of brace yourself and use it as a seat. And, yeah, he used that. It was, I thought that was kind of low rent. But he was decent, you know, when he had Rude, and you know, it was cool. I mean, he was good, and then all of a sudden he came out as Paul Bearer, and you know, it was like totally different character person, and just a somehow this cartoon character worked really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time I saw him was in '85. It was on WTBS, and they were doing, like, this championship challenge series, like, every week on TBS where a title was on the line every week.
Uh-huh.
And they'd bring in, like, in champions from outside, like, outside of Georgia and Crockett territories. And they brought in, I think it was Billy Jack Haynes and Wahoo McDaniel were, like, the Florida U.S. Tag Team Champions. I think that's what the titles were called back then. And they brought them in, and they brought the challengers in. It was Rashing Rick Rude with Percy Pringle, and he was teamed with a guy named Jack Hart, who was also Barry Horowitz.
Oh, okay.
So that was the first time I saw Percy, and then I didn't see him again until sort of watching World Class, and he was with Rick Rude, and Rick Rude for a while, and I think Rude ended up leaving after he lost to Chris Adams, and I'm kind of trying to remember what Percy did between that, because I don't know, maybe, did he manage, like, Bourne and Sawyer?
Honestly, I don't remember. He might have, because he managed more than just Rude, but I don't really remember.
He managed the Dingo Warrior when he was there, or something like that. I don't remember. But the only other time, like, after that I remember him was, remember when they did the stuff with Eric Embry and that big angle there at the end of World Class, when he was the babyface. And I think that's the last time I saw. Well, no, he was Chris Von Erich's first opponent in his first pro match.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Percy was Chris Von Erich's opponent in Chris's first pro match.
Oh, that's right. Because it was more like a mixed tag match. It was usually like Chris Adams and Chris against like Percy and I guess Rude.
God, that dude was small. I don't even know why he tried. You know, become a wrestler, it's just, it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And then he came into the WWF as they had Brother Love as the manager of The Undertaker, and then I think he was getting fired eventually, so they brought in Paul Bearer, which, I don't know, first time I heard that name, it's kind of rolled my eyes. Oh, God, Paul Bearer. I get it.
Well, you roll your eyes, it's a dumb name, and then he comes out all, like, He's more bleached than Sheamus ever has been. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
Jeff Black Carroll.
He's so over the top.
He's always going, talking like in his like really like scary voice. Woo!
It wasn't until later on, like when he was managing, like got away from Taker and he's managing like Kane and Mankind. He actually did some better promos as a manager than he did as Paul Bearer. I mean, he wasn't even doing the voices that much, and it's more Percy Pringle than Paul Bearer later on.
A little bit, yeah. But, I mean, for some reason it worked, though. I mean, because he was over the top, but it wasn't so much that it took away from The Undertaker. I mean, The Undertaker was still serious, even with Paul Bearer there. And he just had a look and act that just everybody remembers. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, as many people have, you know, talked about him or brought him up since he died.
Yeah, and Taker would have gotten over so good if it wasn't for him at the beginning there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have, but
yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely a piece of that whole package, and I'm be interested. They're obviously gonna do something Monday. I think they have to. Maybe something other than a graphic, or maybe. Or they already did a video. That's all.
Yeah, but, I'm sure this is a video, but let's spin on what are the odds that CM Punk pulls in a Randy Orton.
I don't know. What Randy Orton? Oh, what Randy Orton do?
When he talks about Eddie Guerrero being in hell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. WrestleMania is 4 weeks away. It's going to happen, dude. It's going to fucking happen.
If you look at it, okay, the old saying, if wrestling was real, I would say that he would probably say something. It just seems common sense to me. So, but I don't know. I don't know. That's awful soon to be doing something like that. I thought it was weird.
It's like
we
did it that long when
Eddie
did it.
Yeah, and that was a couple of months or so. But I thought it was weird when they were watching that video and you hear the Undertaker say "Rest in peace," and it's like, it's not like it's offensive for him to say that, but it's still weird because it's like the Undertaker when he's saying that for his opponents, but now he's saying it for Paul Bearer, who's really dead. I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah, and I watched that video. The video was pretty cool, and I was cool watching it until at the very end they show the Undertaker say "Rest in peace," and then it's like, oh man, dude, they're just having.
It's just one of those things. I don't think it's a bad thing or anything. It's just a weird thing. So.
Yeah.
Actually, I got on YouTube the other day, and I found you can go to YouTube.com/Katrarian. I got a playlist with there, Paul Bearer, and it was just like clips of a ROH shoot interview with he and Jim Cornette. It's about just a few clips of that, and telling some good stories. He doesn't like Sonny. He thinks she's a cunt.
Well, I think most people do.
Well, she is one, obviously.
Yeah.
If recent news reports are true. I mean, there was talk about putting him in the Hall of Fame this year. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I mean, kind of. Obviously, it'd be because he just died, but he's getting in anyway. So, you know, later. So why not do it? I just wonder if the Undertaker will break character to do any kind of speech.
Honestly, I don't think he will, dude. Not this soon. I mean, maybe if he had been retired for a while and then he died, I could see it. But
I could see if they do, maybe Kane or somebody like that do a speech. So, but yeah, I think going and put him in this year if they want. They don't have anybody dead on there yet, so you'd like to do one of those a year, at least once a year. So,
yeah. it'd be nice that if he goes in, and it kind of sucks because he was going to get like the Lutez Cauliflower Alley Award in a month,
mm-hmm.
and you know, unfortunately, he won't be able to get that, and. I think
if you're going to go into a Hall of Fame, who better than go into Madison Square Garden with Bruno? Don't get much better than that.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I mean, it is an awesome, what do you call it, class that's going in.
Yeah, I don't even, if they don't do Paul Bearer, I don't even think they need anybody else in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, this is one year where you don't have to put anyone. You don't have to have 8 or 9 people like they do sometimes.
I mean, you got your celebrity, you got your all-time great, and like in Bruno Sammartino, you know, you got Bob Backlund, Trish, Foley, like really all the, seems like every era is represented by somebody.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sad that he died. I mean, it seems like we have to deal with something like this every, at least once a month, it seems like somebody dies or something.
Yep.
So, yeah, that kind of sucks. And is there any other big news that's happening or going on?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's kind of been like a slow week as far as like big, other than Paul Bearer. I mean, that was, of course, the main thing.
Yeah,
it's been kind of slow. I thought they could at the end of Raw, I thought they should have had, they really should have had the what do you call them? The Shield. The Shield should have came out and jumped the other guys and helped Punk win. That would have helped set up their match. And then Punk could have been celebrating, you know, I can out copy you, even though he had to help to win, and then have the Undertaker come out. I thought that would have been a little more, could have helped.
See, I would have set the whole thing up differently. I would have had Punk come out. This is like the third time he lost at the Royal Rumble, lost at the Elimination Chamber, he lost as John Cena, and even though he didn't get screwed in that Cena match, he's a heel, so he can come out and say he got screwed, even though he didn't. That's what heels do. And I'd have him say, I've done everything here. I'm the longest reigning champion of the modern era, and I'm going to do what I should have done a year and a half ago when he was going to leave, and said, I'm leaving and I'm never coming back. And he said, there's nothing else for me to accomplish here. There's no more challenges. And then the Undertaker's dong hits, and he comes out and says, you got one more challenge left. Thought that might have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I thought the Rock and Cena promo Monday was pretty good. One of the better John Cena ones in a long time.
Oh, yeah. When he's not just doing comedy, John Cena is awesome. I mean, John Cena is super awesome, but it's just that most of the things he does is, you know, ha-ha bullshit. But, yeah, that was good. Even though it was as simple as just using a line from his song, I mean, you know what I mean? The way he said it and delivered it, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Brock's on the show this week. I think I know Chris Jericho's back. I know Brock's going to be on the show. I'm pretty sure Hunter and Undertaker are going to be on the show. So, Brock, that dude must be on drugs or something. He's the busiest person in the world.
Yeah, he is pretty dead.
I don't see how he does it. Gosh.
Well, he doesn't have to take drug tests every week. Couple of weeks.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
Got four movies coming out. I think that thing last year with G.I. Joe delayed, fucked him up, had to add something else to the schedule this year.
Yeah. Well, he did have the one movie coming out. Now he's got G.I. Joe just about to come out. And the dude works his ass off.
This week, I got DirecTV. I noticed they're showing Marine 3 Homefront. So, I may do a movie review here next week.
Is that the one with The Miz?
Yeah.
I just
got to watch The Miz being an action hero. On a, a lot of people shit on these WWE movies. I like that shit. I don't care what anybody says. I like seeing fucking, Triple H driving a school bus and a chaperone and doing some silly shit like that. I like seeing wrestlers doing stuff like that, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but the Big Show one, the previews were pretty funny as hell.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone
I've
says.
Only I've seen like the Marine. I've seen what is it? There was one John Cena. It was something where he had to go through a city and he couldn't have his girl, so he had to do all these tasks or something. I can't remember what the name of it was. Saw that. I saw. What was the Kane movie?
Hear No Evil or See No Evil?
See No Evil or something like that, yeah. Saw that one. I saw... it was the Marine... No, I didn't see the Marine 2 with Ted DiBiase. I think I saw that other the shitty one with Mr. Kennedy in it. Behind Enemy Lines or something like that.
He had a part in that.
And I can't remember what else I've seen. I watched Legendary. I thought that was pretty good. I haven't seen the one where Randy Orton threatens to go to the papers. I haven't seen that one. So
yeah, that's more like a drama type,
Yeah. That was actually probably the best reviewed movie they've had. But now they did the smart thing. They started just seeing somebody at least make a halfway decent script and make a halfway decent movie and then buying the rights to it.
Like they did with Dead Man Down.
And then that Halle Berry movie, the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a smarter thing to do. And then by doing
stuff
like
Down
that.
Only made $5 million over the weekend.
Yeah. But it's better than other movies they've had come out.
Yeah. It used to be just, okay, somebody's wife or girlfriend is going to get kidnapped and they got to go find them. That's the movie.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I'm going to try to watch The Miz and Marine 3 Homefront this weekend. I'll do a movie review next week if I do. So.
Cool. That'll work.
Yep.
And hopefully we can. Well, actually, I think next week we're going to have to move the show to a different date to accommodate Craig also. And best wishes to Craig. He's dealing with some family issues right now. So all the best to Craig, and hopefully we'll be back pretty soon. And we apologize for not doing the show Friday. It's just that I kind of had to be somewhere, so I wasn't going to be able to do the whole show. And then Craig, that's when he got some bad news, and he didn't feel like doing the show. So we apologize for no show Friday. We hope we made up for it tonight, and we won't have our regular weekly show next week. And I guess we can, besides Contreras' movie review, we can get back to reviewing our WrestleMania stuff.
That's right. Sounds like fun. Although, if you want to, you can go to youtube.com/Contreras. I found a bunch of those older, like, Madison Square Garden, Boston Garden house shows that I put a bunch of them up. And so,
if you like
watching
year?
That old, from like 84, 85, 86.
Okay, I was actually hoping you'd even go even further back than that.
No, I couldn't find, like, I really couldn't find, I tried to find those that were like just pretty much the whole shows that would air on MSG.
Uh-huh.
You know, they used to air on MSG, and I found a bunch of them. We're mostly just like 84, 85, 86. So I got the whole show the whole show where Hogan first won the title from the Iron Sheik. It's got like the war to settle the score, the brawl to end it all, that set up WrestleMania and stuff like that. So.
Oh, that's cool. Might go check that out myself.
So you can go watch Rene Goulet fight Barry O for 15 minutes. I fell asleep.
There you go.
And Iron Mike Sharp groaned his way through a match. Always just grumbling about something.
Right.
He actually has a Madison Square Garden series with B. Brian Blair, who we had on the show a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when B. Brian Blair first, before he was a Killer B, and when he first came into the WWF, like in 84, he had a little half show Madison Square Garden series with Iron Mike Sharp. In his debut, he actually had to do the job for Iron Mike, which I don't think I ever saw Iron Mike win a match. So,
wow. That's crazy. But we've got about 20 minutes to go here. Let me drop the plug real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also check out us at BlogTalkRadio.com. /Contrera, and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio. So so follow us there. You got any plugs?
No.
You've already plugged your YouTube thing.
YouTube.com/Contrera. Got a bunch of old videos up there. Bunch of different little playlists. If you want to see some older Percy Pringle stuff, I have like the entire Eric Embry Devastation Incorporated feud from like 88 and 89 up there. So you go check that out. So good stuff.
Cool. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, that's it. The time change snuck up on me this morning. Like 4:30, and then I looked up, and it's really 5:30. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I won't have, like, what really sucks is, Like when I throw the newspaper, the newspapers on Sunday have to be delivered by 7. And every year, and not just me, it's like everybody gets fucking complaints because people are like, where the fuck are our paper at 7? You know, they'll call at 7:01 or 7:02 and be like, where the fuck is our paper? And it's like, motherfucker, we lost an hour. You expect us to fucking fly through time and deliver your paper on time when we're an hour behind as it is? It's like, come on. Get a fucking life.
We got the internet now. Anybody read the paper?
Well, don't tell them that because then I won't make as much money.
Why don't you just get it delivered to your smartphone or something? I'm sure there's some kind of option for that.
Yeah.
Or we can put it out of a job.
No, we don't need that to happen yet. I've got more WrestleManias I want to go to.
All
right. Did I tell you about the place that I set up for the meetup for, like we usually have a meetup before, like, the ROH? And I called the hotel and it was trying to see if we'd be able just to do it at their bar restaurant, but they were telling me that it's kind of small and they probably wouldn't have room for all of us, and then they wanted to rent us out. They wanted to rent us out a banquet room just to have the room for us to meet there, which was like, it's going to be like at least $300. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be, I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a fucking hassle. And I deal with people complaining. I got, you know, it's just like, fuck. And then I get an email from Brian. It was basically he forwarded an email to me from a certain former WWF writer who said he knew a place that would be perfect. And basically a friend of his owns a restaurant called La Lucha, and it's a Lucha Libre themed restaurant. So we're going to meet there, and it's not too far from Ring of Honor. I mean, we still probably got to take the subway or so-and-so, but it's not too far, but it's like Lucha Libre themed, and all the tacos are named out after wrestlers, like the Super Porky. Like they have a tacos ordered Super Porky, and then they're the carnitas, because that's what carnita is, pork meat. And then they have like a No Mosquitos and a Dr. Wagner, and then they have like an appetizer, like it's like kind of like cream corn, but Mexican style like cream corn, and that's the Viano. And
is the Mel Masters like, one is that rough going down? He don't want to cooperate. Stuff to eat.
So yeah, it's like I'm sure that that's probably the toughest one. But yeah, it's all all the famous Mexican wrestlers have like a tacos named after them. So that should be pretty cool.
Okay.
So I have got that planned out. So that's about 4 weeks away. So should be a good trip, man. I can't wait for it. But other than that, I really don't have anything else. I can't really think of anything right now to talk about.
No.
So I guess we'll go ahead and end the show a little early here. So
wait till about 4 o'clock in the morning to listen to Brian and Dave. Review the show. That's why they need to live out on like the East Coast or something. Down near here.
Right.
Get those shows out at a decent time.
Yeah, I checked Twitter once or twice, but I could tell Brian wasn't watching the show live because he didn't have any tweets going out there. Dave watching it live.
Do what?
It's Brian that fucks it all up because Dave watches the shows live. He watches Raw live. It's like we have to wait for fucking Brian to get off his ass and watch everything on the delay and then do a show and have it not come out till like 4:30 in the morning.
It's going to be tough for him to like watch something not live, and I bet he's hearing about what happens on the show even before he watches it. I wonder if it kind of ruins the experience of watching that show for him. Because people are texting him or emailing him about something, the whole
night.
That would fucking piss me off.
I could turn my phone off. I wouldn't look at it,
Yeah. That's why I was worried about this WWE app, because the thing popped up and said something about The Undertaker returning, which I knew he was going to anyway, but still, it came with some kind of little pop-up on their app about him coming back on Monday. So.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll go ahead and end the show here, and we will be back next week, and hopefully Craig will be joining us, and we will talk to everybody next week.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!